I think I need to say good morning to everybody. And I need to say happy Sabbath. I want to ask you, how was your week? Our week was great. My week was great by God's grace. And it's a pleasure for me to be speaking from the Lord. As you can see, our subject for today is three contemporaneous events. Three. That means three events that will take place in the same time period. We will be talking about it. The first one is the shaking. The second, the sealing. The third, the latter rain. Now, my question will be, will they happen jointly, I said it already, or dispersely? There are in our history as a movement events that every church member should be aware of and prepared for. Many in our ranks don't talk about them. Others don't know if they exist. And others, again, don't know when they will take place. Today, I'm going to be talking about the latter rain, the sealing, and the shaking. In this message, I will try to raise awareness about these very crucial events that will take place in our time, so to be prepared for them. Let's go for it through prayer. Dear Father, humbly we come before Thee to uplift You and to claim the accomplishment of Your promises. One of them is to give us Your Holy Spirit. Please do that as we will open Your word, and we ask You to forgive and to open our minds that our knowledge may glorify You. In the name of Jesus we do pray. Amen. So, brothers and sisters, it is vitally important for anyone traveling to an unknown destination to know the weather conditions, the road conditions, and how they will survive in case of unforeseen events. In winter, in some circumstances, the mineralogists advise people not to travel. Am I correct? But if they have to take with them a survival kit, such as what? Flashlight, food, blanket, pocket knife, you name it. Why? Because the mineralogists believe the weather will not be propice or good for traveling. If you do have to go somewhere, be very careful, because things may happen. This preparation for inclement weather is wise, because many in almost all states, except for Florida, got stuck on the road for hours due to heavy snow, making the journey quite impossible. So many without the survival kit stop right there in the snow. And they bit a cold. Some of them die. Those two, husband and wife, that died likely right here in Pennsylvania because they would not listen. Others bring with them their survival kit to save their lives. Others again get sheltered in a hotel to spend the night or longer. So as I'm talking to you, remember that we will study together three conjoint or contemporaneous events: the latter rain, the sealing, and the shaking. The Deuteronomy that my brother just read for us, and thank you for that, chapter 11, verse 14 says, that I will give you the rain of your land in what? Due season. Please, due season, not out of season, but in due season. I bet Sister Arlene knows how to plant. Do you, Sister? Just a little bit? Okay, now let me ask to anybody, if you were to plant, to put corn seed in the soil, when would you do that? May. Would you do that in January? Would you do that in December? No. Or would you do that in July or September? You would not do that in September. If you do that in September, probably things can happen. September, which is in fall, you will not put anything in fall. Like corn, you will do that? Okay, probably. But I think it is not the best time to put it on the ground. Because by the time fall is over, you will be in winter, and then winter will kill your plant. The first and the latter rain that thou mayest gather in thy corn, thine wine, and thine oil. So, in due season, the first rain in due season, the latter rain in due season. Other way to say first rain, we talk about former rain. Former rain or first rain. Latter rain, it is the last rain. What is the reason for the rain? The reason that thou mayest gather in thy corn, thine wine, and thine oil. Oil symbolizes Holy Spirit. Wine symbolizes Holy Spirit as well. Corn symbolizes food, the word of God. On time. Do not procrastinate before putting the grains on the ground. You may be putting them too late, and then they will not grow up they will not produce, and you will lose your grain for nothing. Neither say they in their heart, let us now fear the Lord our God, that giveth rain, both the former rain and the latter, in his season. And I need you to highlight it as I do. Due season, his season. He reserveth unto us the appointed weeks of the harvest. This is Jeremiah speaking here in his book, chapter 5, verse 24. He reserveth unto us the appointed weeks of the harvest. There is a time appointed for the harvest. All right. Now, who is given the harvest? Who is given the rain? Whether it be the first or the former, the last or the latter rain. Deuteronomy 11 verse 14 says, I will give you rain. Who is I? The Lord God. I will give you rain. So, when you have your crops, whatever crops you have, does it come from your intelligence or from whatsoever they call? And then you see, I did this because I am so smart. No, God is giving it. Likewise, on a spiritual level, if you have a certain knowledge that should be used to glorify God, do not take it for yourself or to say that it is my wisdom or whatever that allows me to use that knowledge for my glory. Do not be Nebuchadnezzar. Do not be Nebuchadnezzar. All right. I need you to pay attention as I'm moving forward. What are the consequences of having no rain? Therefore, the showers have been withholding. Last time, about 1 month ago, Sister Joan was asking us to pray for what?
Rain.
For rain. Why? There was no rain. And when there is no rain, what happens? No crops. And if there is no crops, what happens? No food. If there is no rain, what happens? There is no water in your... And I hate seeing our rivers drawn out. I hate seeing that. Therefore, the showers have been withholding, and there has been no latter rain. And the hard... a whore's forehead that refused to be ashamed, Jeremiah 3, verse 3. We will see more about the consequences of having no rain. So, brothers and sisters, none can survive without rain. Am I correct? None can survive without rain. All will die without rain. I remember when I was a little boy growing up, when I was about 8 or 9, I said, little boy, this is a lad. Back then in Haiti, there was no rain where I was growing up in the country. Man, people got to dig deep in the soil to get some water so that they can use it to wash their clothes or to eat, to cook food or to do whatever they want to do. No rain for a while. Even in the river's bank, no rain, no water. and you have your cows or your cattle crying whenever they see you, expecting you to take them to the river to get some water to drink. There's none. No land will produce without rain. Likewise, none will survive without the Holy Spirit. Don't forget that the Holy Spirit is symbolized by the latter rain and the former rain in the Bible. When there is no Holy Spirit, people supply his absence by a counterfeit spirit. There was a time when China, from time to time, China does that. When there is no rain, they fabricate false rain. Last time, this year in January or February, there was no snow, not enough snow in China. They fabricated snow for winter game. Likewise, on a spiritual level, when you don't have the Holy Spirit, a counterfeit spirit calling himself the Spirit of God will be given unto you, not by God, but by the devil. That is why there will be a false revival in the fallen churches, because they will not have the Holy Spirit. Ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain. When should we be asking God rain? When exactly should we ask God rain? You said now. But in the time of the latter rain. And you correct, sister. Sister Joan asked the church to pray that God would give us some rain. How many times are we praying that God would give us the Holy Spirit? Which one would you prefer? Dying without water or dying without God, the Holy Spirit? Which one? I bet none of you would be so unwise to say, I cannot live without water. Holy Spirit, I will come back to you. When I'm ready, I will call you. But now I need water, because if there is no water, I will die. How many times have we done that? Pushing God aside to do something that pleases us. So the Lord shall make bright clouds and give them showers of rain to everyone grass in the field. Zechariah chapter 10, verse 1. So, we need to ask God for the Holy Spirit. But he said, be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waited for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he received the early and the latter rain. If you have not received the early rain, you will not receive the latter rain. If your crops receive just the latter rain, it will serve to nothing. We better have both of them, the former rain and the latter rain. And in between should come from time to time some showers. We need to constantly ask God the outpouring of his Holy Spirit, not just upon us, but also upon the church. If we keep asking for ourselves, we may not receive anything, because we are selfish. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a washing mighty wind, and it filleth field, on the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. Acts 2, verses 1 to 4. Now, if you go back to this text that we just read, you will highlight those 7 points. At least, we will find 7 points in this short verse or text. First one, it was the day of Pentecost. And it was, the day of Pentecost was fully come. The day of Pentecost was fully come. That means when the day for God to outpour His Holy Spirit upon the church, it will be the day when the day of Pentecost, the day of the outpouring, will be fully come. All right. The second, they were all with one accord. If we are fighting each other, we will not receive the Holy Spirit. We need to be in one accord. Third, in one place. People do not stay home believing they will receive the Holy Spirit. It does not work like that. You come to church except if you are sick. If you cannot come, it's a totally different thing. But if you stay home to do any other things that would not be appropriate, you will not receive the Holy Spirit. We need to be in one place. That means here or anywhere in any church, any Seventh-day Adventist church. Many church members decide to stay home on Saturdays, or I'm going to pray home. Well, it does not work like that. You go to church. Fourth, suddenly. That means when you expect it the least. That's exactly when the Holy Spirit will be outpoured upon the church. But let me tell you something. Not because you are in the church that you will receive the Holy Spirit. You may be sitting beside somebody. The Holy Spirit descends upon that somebody. You don't even see it, and you don't receive it. If you receive it, you would understand that that person had already received the Holy Spirit. Fifth, each one of them was filled, it filled all of them. That means all of those who are in one accord around Jesus Christ, all of those who are in one accord around Jesus Christ will be filled by the Holy Spirit. Six, just in one house. I said it already. Just in one house. Seven, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. We just saw that. All right. In chapter 3 of the book of Acts, we see God started performing miracles through Peter. John and Peter, coming out of the temple, encountered a lame man who was lame since his mother's womb. Peter asked him to stand up in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he did. Someone who was lame from the wombs of his mother got totally reestablished, not even reestablished. He became whole in a matter of second just by believing that God would perform it through his manservant Peter. Chapter 4. Peter and John were preaching the gospel, and persecution arose against them. But Peter and John would not give up. How many times will we be giving up when we get persecuted, when we preach the gospel? How many times have people given up because people are not happy with what they're saying? One topic was about Christ's resurrection, but the priest got mad. And you know, Sadducees did not believe in what? Resurrection. And because they did not believe in resurrection, when Peter and John were talking about it, they got mad and they persecuted John and Peter. That was their present truth. The resurrection of Christ was their present truth, and about 5,000 accepted the message. Acts 4, verse 4. So, brothers and sisters, God has a reason to give us His Holy Spirit. In 2022, the resurrection of Christ is not the present truth. It may be incorporated in the present truth. Just to make a point, our present truth is the preaching of Christ's righteousness or justification by faith. The three angels' messages, the sanctuary message, the Ten Commandments, country living, the mark of the beast, the image of the beast, the seal of God, or the sealing, the investigative judgment, Sunday laws, the seven last plagues, a pure and clean heart, the health message, the latter rain, the shaking, signs of the time, and so many more. Those are the present truth. Brothers and sisters, we should not go back to the messages that constituted the main topics of the message of the time of Jesus or just after him. Neither should we go back to the messages of the time of Reformation, the Protestant time. In the time of papal supremacy, our time does have a different message, a message for our time. So, the sealing says, Siri, not you, please. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. One simple question. What does this text say? Does this text say that the Holy Spirit is the seal of God, or the Holy Spirit is the agent behind the sealing? What does it say? Can somebody tell me? Just don't look down. Look up. And grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Ephesians 4 verse 5. I need you to understand that the Holy Spirit is not the seal. Do not allow anybody to tell you that the Holy Spirit is the seal. The Holy Spirit is not the seal. The Holy Spirit is the agent whereby is the adverb indicating the action of the Holy Spirit. He is sealing. He is not the seal. All right? Whereby means by which or through. So, saying hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God, where? In their foreheads. Oh my! To know that God will do that to me, this is the most powerful message that God can give unto me, that I will be sealed. Sealed! He may be a white people, but this is me. I'm not white, but this is me being sealed right here. That may be any one of you. Any one of you. Wow! Consequences of sealing. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. Remember Pentecost? The Holy Spirit descended upon the church. The gathering church in the time of Peter, John, James, Bartholomew. Those people were gathered together along with many women. Among them, we have Mary, Miriam's. Those people were there. How many Marys do we have? How many Miriam's do we have? How many Peter do we have? I'm Peter. Wow, because Peter is Pierre in French. How many Johns do we have here? We are all Johns, Peters, Miriam's. I don't care. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the Great is falling, and it's become the habitation of devils and the whole hold of every foul spirit and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. You remember what I told you earlier? When you don't have the Holy Spirit, what do you have? Evil spirit. This is it. Babylon is falling and is become the habitation of devils. Foul spirit. Unclean, hateful bird. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that he be not partakers of her sins, and that he receive not her plagues. Is this message for us as Seventh-day Adventists or for the other fallen churches? Can somebody tell me? This is not for us as Seventh-day Adventists because it's talking about Babylon. We are not Babylon. And God has children in the fallen churches. And as the Holy Spirit will descend upon us, we will be urged upon to preach this message. This is what is called the loud cry. The same power that was given to the disciples at the Pentecost is the same that will be given unto us at this end of time to preach the loud cry of Revelation 18. As Peter pointed out the sins of the people in his time, so will we do in our time. Nowadays, you cannot say anything. If someone is doing something bad, don't say it, please. Don't say it. All right? As many got converted unto the Lord in his time, so many will be converted unto the truth in our time. Same power. The power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the mighty angel of Revelation 18. All the earth will be enlightened by the power of the Holy Spirit. I want to point out that, by the way, that in Revelation, angel or angelos in Greek means messenger. That means the angel coming down from heaven in Revelation 18 may be the Holy Spirit as a messenger to enlighten the earth, bringing salvation to everyone through us as Seventh-day Adventists, preaching the loud cry. Preach all over the world. Ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto uttermost part of the earth. This man does it. Every continent here on earth has been visited by this man preaching the gospel. This is our job. You ordained elder, I am ordained elder, you ordained elder, or you are ordained deacon. Our job is to preach the gospel wherever we are. So, we will do it by the power of the Holy Ghost. Not because we have a certain degree in college. Satan is now using every device in this sealing time to keep the minds of God's people from the present truth and to cause them to waver. Satan is trying to do what? To take our mind away from what? The present truth. I saw a covering that God was drawing over his people to protect them in the time of trouble. And every soul that decided on the truth and was pure in heart was to be covered with the covering of the Almighty. Let's go to this part. Affected by the devil. Some, last time I was talking to several people, and I said that Sister White says that the devil will have power over our body. As Seventh-day Adventists, one person told me, probably other people, not us. Okay? Some of these agents of Satan were affecting the bodies of some of the saints. Those whom they could not deceive and draw from the truth by satanic influence. Because Satan cannot deceive you, God still gives him a power over your body. You got sick, you cannot know how and why. You go here and there to see this doctor or that doctor, you cannot be healed. What's going on here? The same thing that happened to whom? To Job. Could a doctor heal Job? My brother, tell me. Could a doctor heal Job? Would he be presidential doctor? He would not be able to heal Job. Who alone would be able to heal him? God. And God did. Some of these agents of Satan were affecting the bodies of some of the saints. That's why if I'm sick, I'm not gonna bother myself about my sickness. God may give power to the devil to affect my body, because I will not, by God's grace, believe in his lies. Oh, that all could get a view of it as God revealed it to me, that they might know of the wiles of Satan and be on their guard. I saw that Satan was at work in these ways to distract, deceive, and draw away God's people. Just now in the sealing time, when will Satan affect our bodies in the sealing time? Satan does not have power over your body. Yes, he does. I saw some who were not standing stiffly for present truth. Present truth is what should be preached in every single last Seventh-day Adventist church. I don't want to sleep when I come to church. Talk to me about what matters in these last days so that I can get prepared for the second coming of Christ. Their knees were trembling and their feet sliding because they were not firmly planted on the truth, and the covering of Almighty God could not be drawn over them while they were thus trembling. If you are trembling, no. No ceiling. Now, my dear brethren and sisters, let the commandment of God and the testimony of Jesus, you would say testimony, of Jesus Christ be in your minds continually. And let them crowd out worldly thoughts and cares. What should we have in our minds continually? The commandment of God, and what next? Testimony of Jesus. What is the testimony of Jesus? Spirit of prophecy. Continually. Constantly. And look. Not you. Look. When you lie down, think. When you rise up, think. Let them be your meditation. Live and act wholly in reference to the second coming of the Son of Man. The sealing time is very short and soon be over. Now is the time, while the four angels are holding the four winds, to make our calling and election sure. There was a hurricane, I believe it was in 2005, New Orleans. They told to everybody, this is your last call to live. Your last call to live. How many did not live? A lot. How many died? A lot. Yeah. And we still have these people around, even in church. God says, don't do this. Don't. Yes, I can. Yes. Okay. Don't. All right. Yes, I can. Are you Barack Obama? Yes, I can. Okay. In a little while, everyone who is child of God will have his seal placed upon our foreheads. I am longing to have this on my forehead. The seal of God. Once you've sealed, you are saved forever, never to sin again. Amen. Amen. Who can endure the thought of being passed by when the angel goes forth to seal the servants of God in their foreheads? The shaking. We have seen the latter rain. We have seen the sealing. Now, this is the worst part for those who are shaken, trembling. Shaken. The shaking is a trying time. Did you know that? The shaking is a trying time. This is present truth. This is present truth. I asked the meaning of the shaking I had seen and was shown that it would be caused by the sweet testimony called forth by the counsel of the true witness, which is Jesus, to the Laodiceans, which are us. The straight truth should be preached to the church, Seventh-day Adventist church. What is the straight testimony if not a message that points out our sins? Preachers should always denounce sin in the church. No matter my sins or pastor's sins, we don't care. Straight message. This will have its effect upon the heart of the receiver and will lead him to exalt the standard and pour forth the straight truth. Some will not bear this straight testimony. They will rise up against it. And this is what will cause a shaking among God's people. The straight message, some people will rise up against it. They will fight it. And Sister White says in other places that they would even want you to die because they don't want to hear that. I will preach it. In the last solemn work, few great men will be engaged. They are self-sufficient. I think Sister Donna, why are we talking about that today? Self-sufficient, independent of God, and he cannot use them. The Lord has faithful servants who in the shaken testing time will be disclosed to view. Sometimes you see some church members, you don't understand their character. They have a rough character. Well, take it easy. You never know. That person may be a genuine Christian. You never know. Sister White says it. I caught it short. You see those people? I was pointing down to the time when the third angel's message was closing. The power of God had rested upon his people. They had accomplished their work and were prepared for the trying hour before them. The trying hour is about to strike. As I'm talking to you, they had received the latter rain. So before you get to the latter rain, before you get to the trying time, God will give you his Holy Spirit. The last great warning had sounded everywhere, and it had stirred up and enraged the inhabitants of the earth who would not receive the message. People will get mad, will get enraged, will try to kill you, will try to destroy whatever you have. And everyone who will be trembling because of that probably had not received the Holy Ghost. The Lord has shown me clearly that the image of the beast will be formed before probation close. This is another topic. The image of the beast is what? The image of the beast is the enactment of the Sunday laws, which is the last test, the great test that God will give unto his people. If you do not pass it, that means you are lost forever. This is the test that the people of God must have before they are sealed. And there is a great movement here in America, a great movement across the globe as I'm talking to you, in favor of the enactment of Sunday law. That's why you have that bill that was voted last 3 weeks ago in Congress, about $790 billion. They call climate something like that. Be watchful, brothers and sisters. Watch out. Just as soon as the people of God are sealed in their forehead, it is not any seal or mark that can be seen, but a settling in the truth, both intellectually and spiritually, so they cannot be moved. Just as soon as God's people are sealed and prepared for the shaking, it will come. So, the mark is not something that is visible. You will not see it. But it is a twofold a seal. It is intellectual, that means you know the truth. It is spiritual, that means you will not move. Nobody or nothing, even death. I'm sorry, my sister. I ask God to give me wisdom to stop. But my sister, I need you to hear that. Just as soon as God's people are sealed and prepared for the shaking will come. A lot of people that appear to be genuine in the church will be sifted out. And every time that I read these things, I think of myself. Will I be sifted out? Maybe to some people I appear to be genuine Christian. But how does God see me? Does God see in me a genuine Christian serving Him with all my heart? When I read these things, I tremble. Take away the filthy garment. Zechariah 3, verses 3 and 4. I want to read that for you, brothers and sisters. It says in Zechariah 3, verses 3 and 4, "Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel." Joshua was the high priest, standing before the Lord, and Satan is accusing him, doing this and that. And Joshua was like that, asking God forgiveness. Satan is right there. You did that. You did it. I was the one pushing you to do it. And you do it. God, you know it is true. And Joshua was, "Oh God, have mercy on my soul." And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, "Take away the filthy garments from him." Amen. Take away the filthy garment from him. And unto him he said, "Behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with change of raiment." This is the experience of God's people in these last days. I'm going to come, this message is coming to a close, even though I have more slides. But I need to go. You need to go, not me. This is every church member with filthy garment. Our sins, we're filthy. And God is changing our clothing into bright robes, forgiving our sins. This should be our individual experience with God. And every day we should come to the altar to ask Him forgiveness, to change our filthy garment into His own garment. But church members, not so many of us are praying that that may happen in our lives. And it says, we are in the shaking time, the time when everything that can be shaken will be shaken. This is the shaken. This is the shaken. Straight testimony to the remnant church. You see people coming down here, eternal loss. Some say in it, looking down. Church members, the seal of God will be placed upon the foreheads of those only who sigh and cry for the abominations done in the land. We see many things taking place in the world and in the church, but church members would say nothing. Preachers would not address the issues confronting the church. Division. The church is split. Divisions will come in the church. Two parties will be developed. The wheat and tares grow up together for the harvest. And I look and behold a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sack like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown and in his hand a sharp sickle. Let me go faster. Thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle and on the earth, and the earth was reaped. We have come to that time, brothers and sisters. Thrust in thy sharp sickle and gather the clusters of the wine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. You know what is that? Grapes? Those who are not saved will be lost forever, and there will be blood coming out of them. And this will take place very soon. And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth and gathered the wine of the wrath and cast it into the grape winepress of the wrath of God. We are talking about the wrath of God mingled with mercy, but this time it will not be mingled with mercy. And the dew and the rain, as the dew and the rain are given first to cause the seed to germinate and then to ripen the right harvest, so the Holy Spirit is given to carry forward from one stage to another the process of spiritual growth. The ripening of the grain represents the completion of the work of God's grace in the soul. By the power of the Holy Spirit, the moral image of God is to be perfected in the character. We are to be wholly transformed into the likeness of Christ. There will be a shaking of the sieve. The chaff must in time be separated from the wheat, because iniquity abounds, the love of many waxes cold. You see, they're talking about gay marriage. They're talking about gay clergy. They're talking about gay baptism. They're talking about women ordination. They're talking about a whole lot of things that should not be taking place in any church. But we shut up. We don't say anything. But this tells us, because of that, many church members will conform to what is taking place in the world. There will be division, rebellion in the church. We don't need rebellion in the church. We are in the second time, brothers and sisters. This is what is taking place as I'm talking to you. Just before we entered into the time of trouble, we all will receive the seal of the living God. Then I saw the four angels cease to hold the four winds, and I saw famine, pestilence, sword, nation rose against nation, and the whole world was in confusion. I saw angels hurrying. Three more paragraphs and I'm done. I saw angels hurrying to and fro in heaven. An angel with a writer's ink horn by his side returned from the earth and reported to Jesus that his work was done, and the saints were numbered and sealed. Then I saw Jesus, who had been ministered before the ark containing the Ten Commandments, throw down the censers. He raised his hand and with a loud voice said, "It is done." No more mercy. No more forgiveness of sin. No more conversion. No more pity. No more preaching of the gospel. No more prayer. No more. The second, an angel returning from the earth announces that his work is done. The final test, Sandelo, the final test has been brought up upon the world, and all who have proved themselves loyal to divine precept have received the seal of the living God. Then Jesus ceases his intercession in the sanctuary above. He lifts up his hand and with a loud voice says, "It is done." Judgment is over. The last. Oh God. The last before the last. This time finally come. You see that lady, what is she doing? What is that lady doing? She is driving. She is sleeping. She is talking over the phone. Disobedient. This time finally comes suddenly upon all. And those who have neglected to purify their souls by obeying the truth are found sleeping. And when you are sleeping, what happens? You're dead. Oh, I said that. Let me stop. This is the time for church members to get their lives together. The time for us to pray. The time for us to preach the straight message. This man, you know him, but I'm not going to read that. Because I told you I would not read anymore. Otherwise, I would read it. This man, you know him. What is his name? John Lomakin. Good preacher, good preacher, good preacher. All right. The shaking is now. But the great shaking will be after the sealing. The sealing is now. But the sealing will be taking place after the investigative judgment. The latter one is now. But the latter one will not be done before the shaking. Those three go together in the same period. If you lose one, you are certain that you will lose the others. They go hand in hand. If you lose one, you are certain that you are lost. Therefore, let's pray God that he may give us all three for our salvation. Brothers and sisters, are you ready for these three events? Are you preparing yourself for these three events? If so, please, stand to your feet. Let us make a short prayer of consecration. A short prayer. A short prayer. Dear Father, we thank you for this message. A message of the present, part of the present truth. A message that urges upon us the necessity of preparing ourselves for what will take place on earth. I'm praying that every single last one of us will pay attention and will live accordingly. Bless everyone, particularly the elderly that we have among us. Bless them until you come to take them with you for their salvation, for glory and honor. This I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.